Thank you, John, for those songs. This morning is Palm Sunday, in which we remember the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. It's a day that in many ways is a day of celebration. It's also a day of grief. Today especially. Our thoughts are with Sanford and Jolene. I'll warn you, I'm pretty fragile this morning, so please bear with me. I wasn't sure how to lead us this morning. But I think I'll go ahead with what I had planned, because it does us good to remember Christ on a day like today. And it does us good to see celebration. Pardon me. It does us good to celebrate in the midst of grief. I'm gonna have actually quite a bit of scripture reading, and I'll have a few songs as well. I'm gonna begin with a responsive reading of Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29. And I will read the light print, and I would like you to respond on the verses in bold print. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you.
Thank you. Please turn to number 12 in your hymn books. Open now the gates of beauty.
Thank you.
If you'd like, you could turn to Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 28. This is Luke's account. When he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, throwing their cloaks on the colt. They set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" Turn to number 177 in your hymnals, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor." Thank you. I'll continue reading in the same passage, and the story takes a distinctly different tone. "When he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'Would that you, even you, had known this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. I want you to think about the tremendous emotional conflict going on inside of Jesus at this point. Because so many people are finally convinced that he is the Messiah, and they are rallied around him. He's surrounded by throngs of adoring fans. And yet he knows that the week will end in abandonment and unspeakable pain. So I imagine him riding on the donkey, smiling and talking to the crowds and receiving their praise. And yet if you looked closely, you might notice a slightly furrowed brow and a hint of a grimace on his face. He approaches the city and the donkey slows to a stop. This weight of sorrow descends on him. The crowd blurs around him and he begins to weep. But he doesn't just weep for himself, he weeps for his people. He weeps for what could and should have been. He looks into the future and doesn't just see his own agony, but the agony of a nation paying the price for rejecting him. He cried out, would that you had known on this day the things that make for peace. He's feeling the pain of offering the very thing that his people wanted and needed. And yet he was rejected because it didn't look like they thought it should. I believe at this time we see, we have an interesting look into the humanity of Christ. As this week he seems less gentle somehow. Several of the Gospels would make it appear that at the end of this triumphal ride into Jerusalem, he went straight to the temple, and that's where he cast out the money changers and the merchants. And the next day is when he cursed the fig tree for not bearing fruit. We know that Christ suffered meekly, but I think these accounts give us a glimpse into the anguish of his soul during this week. And so this morning, I'm not going to draw some quaint lesson from this story. I simply want us to sit with Christ and to feel his pain. And to feel the pain of our friends. Easter is coming, but right now it hurts. And it's okay for it to hurt. I think it would do us good to just spend some time in silence. And remembering Sanford and Jolene and their family. We thank you, Father, that you know our pain and that you see our pain. And that in the midst of it, you walk with us and you care for us. Because you were human too. And you know what it feels like. And for that, we give you thanks this morning. Amen.